children. I'm smack in the middle, and baby sister lives in Chicago, and she just wanted to come and spend some time with her two older sisters. And then we just all got together, all of my family got together last night, and my dad, back in the early 2000s, did a genealogy report, and it was so detailed. He went all over the world to try and find out, you know, where we came from and whatever. And the coolest thing that happened was last night. We're all sitting on my sister's back deck, and you know, everybody's kind of huddled around this notebook that was filled with all of the genealogy. And, you know, my girls and my grandchildren were just enthralled to know who they were and where they came from. Children, I'm smack in the middle, and baby sister lives in Chicago, and she just wanted to come and spend some time with her two older sisters. And then we just all got together, all of my family got together last night, and my dad, back in the early 2000s, did a genealogy report, and it was so detailed. He went all over the world to try and find out, you know, where we came from and whatever. And the coolest thing that happened was last night. We're all sitting on my sister's back deck, and you know, everybody's kind of huddled around this notebook that was filled with all of the genealogy. And, you know, my girls and my grandchildren were just enthralled to know who they were and where they came from. And I was driving, as I dropped my little sister off at the airport this morning and busting myself to get down 75 to get here today, you know, the Lord just dropped in my heart that, you know, you have family, not just those family, but these people right here at Eagles Way Church are family. And whether you've never been here before, or whether you've been here forever, and I know a lot of you have, it just continues to make my heart so grateful to know that it's not just my immediate family, but my church family is just so, so very important to me, because we're all a part of the family of God. And so I would just say to you, thanks for being my family, and stand up and let's worship and do that together. Thank you.
It's like a smile or a song when you feel love come and that feeling is gone. It flies. And when you've given up, let your healing come. When there's nothing left, let your healing come. Till we're rising up, let your healing. Thank you.
This pollen's killing me. This is usually a song that Lauren sings. It's by far my favorite song that Lauren sings ever. I can't get enough of it. And when she said that she didn't want to sing it anymore for a little while because she's been singing it so long, I was like, hey, I want to sing it. I don't care if it's stupid. And the reason I love this song so much is because sometimes for like super literal people like me, it's so hard to find God in the world. in the natural world, like just looking around it. I have to go in my mind or inside of me or into art or music or something to try to have some type of mystical experience. And then you have a baby, a little girl, and she's the most incredible thing. She's so alive. She's so absolutely like on fire, passionate about everything. We went to Krog Street Market yesterday in Atlanta, and if you've ever been there, there's a million people, just a thousand million people, and you're crammed in there, and you're all trying to order food. And she wanted down. She wanted to walk around, and I put her down, you know, and that's kind of a scary thing to do. And immediately, she's in the throngs of people, and she's saying hey to everybody, and she's pulling on people's pants legs. She's completely unreserved. She's completely unrestrained. She's wild. She's not anxious. She's not a troubled mind. None of that stuff's been built yet. Everything is an opportunity. Everything is beautiful. Every morning she is in love with me more than yesterday. And that's why I can't get enough of this song, because if you can't equate a child's mind to God, then I can't equate my mind to God, because I was that too at some point a long time ago. And somehow I built up all this anxiety and fear and nervousness and wanting to be perfect and wanting people to like me. And some reason doing everything in my power to undo all of that at some points. But if you have a baby, think back to when they were 1 year old and just starting to walk. If you don't have a baby, think about mine. Because, you know, I'm a firm believer in this family and these people, and what connects us is what we're all here for. And she's the purest form of that. And this song just reiterates it over and over and over again to me.
Just a flame, your love is a light the world sees. All the world sees. And you don't give your heart in pieces. Thank you. fractured, it's not a troubled mind. It isn't anxious, it's not the restless kind. Your love's not passive, it's never disengaged. It's always present, it hangs on every word we say. Love's not promises.
Aren't you glad he doesn't give his heart of pieces? Aren't you glad that you can trust in him? You can be seated. Every one of those songs was just awesome and perfect for me this morning. And those of you know that have listened to me talk at different times, know that sometimes I get a little weepy. Me and Mike Willis got something going on. Nothing wrong with that, is there, Mike? Y'all say a special prayer for Pastor Buren and Barbara, Pastor Dusty and Chris and their families. They're having to suffer down in Mexico for a week or so. Ministry. But relaxation is important and good. Reviving yourself is important and good. I'm just going to take my time this morning. Because what God's been doing inside of me last little while has just been pretty phenomenal. I had the opportunity Wednesday night. For those of you that have not been here on Wednesday nights, haven't heard about it, it's called Testify. And it will continue at least through April, and who knows, we may go longer than that, but I know we're going through April. And we're sharing of the goodness of God and what he's done in our lives and the miracles that have happened, whether it's physically or emotionally or spiritually or financially, whatever it may be. And anytime something like that starts and you kind of, as leaders, you evaluate, you want to make sure that you are in the right timing of it, and you know, don't prolong something, but you don't cut something short. And pastor was, you know, sensing maybe, you know, I'm just not sure where we're at with it. And I was, one evening, like I do quite often, I was sitting in my hot tub looking at the stars, and it's a quiet time, prayer time for me. And I just knew that even if it gets very slow, and we are sitting here feeling as though, well, who's going to get up and talk? Who's going to testify? Who's going to share? That God has begun something here that isn't the norm. You got to hear that. I want to thank Dr. David Hitson for being sensitive to the Spirit. We had a couple of weeks prior to, at the very end of January, we had a senior leadership meeting. And in that senior leadership meeting, I have been feeling the need or the necessity to begin offer some things, get ways people can connect, ways that we can, you know, people that are attending other than just coming on Sunday morning, that you can connect with Eagles Way, you can connect with one another, that you can be encouraged, that all of this could happen. And so it actually was Joey's first senior leadership meeting. And within that one meeting, we planned a series of multiple things to start in a month or so. Joey was like, whoa, that's quick. I said, well, Joey, when we get in these type of situations, we start moving. We get, you know, we strike while it's hot, and we go where God's leading us. And so we had all this planned, and we had an eldership lunch planned, and we were going to share some of these things that we had thought we were moving forward towards. And from the depths of Dr. David's being, he shared what God was doing inside of him. He shared where he felt like he had not taken some ownership of some things, and that he had some things to give that he was not giving. Things aligned and worked out, and I had been prophesied over years ago, and I knew from the time that I had stopped going to school or college that at some point in time I would finish my degree. And so I started about 2 years ago in that process of finishing my degree. I had my associate's degree, and I was moving towards my bachelor's in biblical ministries. And wasn't always the easiest. Writing papers when I was young was hard. I thought, well, it's going to be easier. No, it wasn't any easier. You still have to know how to put. It is easier because when you put a comma in the wrong place on the computer, it tells you. It doesn't tell you when you put it on a piece of paper in the wrong place. So that part of it is a little easier. But I began pouring myself into that, and I was learning some things, and but I also didn't realize I had gotten complacent in some things. We'll come back to that one again in a minute too, I promise. And we'll keep you going on about three stories or so, but I was able to share last Wednesday night that I was here, not this past one, I missed the last one, but one before that. Some miracles, some things that God had done in my life, and I'm not going to go into depth with them, but I'll share them briefly with you. One was I was 5 years of age, and I was sledding on a hill in a court where there was snow. It was up north, not down south. And a car was coming into the court, and I slid underneath down the hill on my little toboggan. And I went under the car, and I came out the back end, untouched, screaming my head off because I knew I wasn't going to get to slide down the hill anymore. But it was a miracle of God. I was about 11, and a kid at my church had in school had talked me into climbing up the side of the church to put some salt out. And I was 50 feet up on a one-inch ledge climbing up. No way in the world I should have done it, and I fell 50 feet. But I fell into a 7-foot snowbank, and I was unhurt. A few months later, I was on the back of a motorcycle. My brother was driving. It was a suicide throttle, if you know what that means, that it, when you pull it back, it stays, and we power skidded. First time I've ever ridden without a helmet, it threw me into the road. The motorcycle flipped, or kind of rolled over, or did what it did, but it was, the wheel was spinning, and so it hit, and when it bounced over top of me and landed on the other side of me in the road. I know that God has a plan for my life. I know that God has designed me, formed me in a fashion, in the very same way God has designed you. He has formed you in a fashion. That He has something that He has deposited inside of you, God, for you to be able to share and to give that absolutely nobody else can share and give. So in this process of being in school and studying and doing some of the things that I was doing, still busy here working and doing. How many times have you ever been in a place where you just kind of get to a place and you feel like, man, I'm just doing this? It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, but I'm just doing this. At the time, I didn't even realize that was what was going on. Creeps up on you. The words of your mind sometime, well, this is how it's going to be. It's never going to change. And you say, oh, no, it is. You push it to the side. And then a little while later, it comes, and before you realize what I, before I realize, as I had slipped into some complacency in the expectation of the sermon title that I'm fixing to give you that God gave me 6 weeks ago. Didn't know what in the world I was going to talk about, but He gave me a message title. I said, God, that isn't the way you do it. You tell me what it is I'm supposed to talk about, and then I can put a title with it because it'll work. But the message title He gave me, and it was clear as day on a Sunday morning in here. And the question was, Will, what's next? So I want you to say your name, and then I want you to say, what's next? Right now, Will, what's next? That's your question. What's next in your life? What's next in what God wants to do in your life, where God wants to take you in your life? See, I had a plan and a purpose. I had this mapped out of a time frame, and part of my issue over the last couple of years and moving into a little bit of this complacency was I wasn't exactly on my time frame that I had planned. Sharing with Jennifer even just a couple of weeks ago, and actually about 4 weeks ago, I shared where I was and what was going on with me, and so she has been praying for me, and in her own life, she's got some physical things going on with her, and so I have been praying and believing with her, and part of it was hard for me to share with her what was going on with me because I knew what she was dealing with in her own life, but part of that marriage was that we had to trust one another. But we had to trust the God in one another. See, our marriage this September will have stood the test of time of 31 years. Isn't that a good thing? It's a long time. I was 12 when we got married. Just teasing. But I want to share a miracle that happened just prior to us getting married that is still relevant to us today. And I want to share these things is because there's things that have happened in your life that have been along the way that Mark Goss was sharing with me this morning. What happened then prepared me for what was next. And then what happened here has prepared me now for what is next. Jenny and I were dating. And we were attending New Life Church. For those of you that don't know what New Life Church is, it was Eagles Way Church just before name change. And we were seeking God at that church, and we were seeking one another as we were dating. And then something happened where we broke up. Those things happen, especially when you have a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old. Those things happen. So she was going on her senior trip, and I had just made friends with Mike Oliver, the youth pastor at New Life Church, and he said, why don't you come down and play golf with me? There's only girls going on the senior trip, and no guys can play. Well, Jennifer was there. I said, sure, I'll go do that. We had some teachings within the youth ministry about the heart of David and the giving yourself wholly to God first, not having to have these ties and dating. Now, once you're married, there's ties. The ties and dating don't need to come too soon. For all of those of you that are dating, don't need to come too soon. But when they come, they come. And so we're on this senior trip. We get back together. Oh, isn't that sweet? But we have a conversation. She shares her heart with what God is doing inside of her. I share my heart about what God's doing inside of me. We're talking about what's going on. We were both in the youth ministry. I was kind of a leader in the youth ministry at that time, or a student leader. And we talk about this, and we said, we want to make God the most important thing in our life. Now, at that time, I was more of an athlete then than I am now, and I had a Letterman's jacket, and I had a class ring, and all of those things that would make me puff up and be so proud. She had both of those items, or had both of those items. When we broke up, she gave them back to me. So we're sitting on the balcony. We are in Perdido Key, Florida. And the particular condo that we were in was not very far from the ocean. It had to have one of those kind of retaining wall areas just down from it, but there was some beach that was out in front of us, but not too far. And so as we're in this process of sharing our hearts and sharing our lives, I had my class ring on, and I took my class ring off, and I stood up, and I threw it out into the ocean. And it was a symbol at that time for her and I, and it was a really big deal in our lives that we were saying it's not about these promises to one another, it's about our covenant with God, and that this relationship would stand upon that. It was a sweet moment. I got to play lots of golf with Mike. We're on our way home, and she realizes that she had left her camera by the pool. So I said, well, let's just call him. So we stop and use a payphone, because there wasn't any cell phones back then. You don't think about that kind of stuff. Or some of you do not think about that kind of stuff. And we got a hold of the front office, and she said, listen, I left my camera by the pool. It was under such and such towel. Did anyone happen to find it? Yes, we had someone turned it into the office. She said, oh, that's great. She said, can you mail it to such and such? And they said, absolutely, we'll be happy to do it. She said, and by the way, was there anybody in your group that happened to lose a class ring? She goes, yeah, can you describe it? And they described it. And I know it hit the ocean because I know how hard I can throw. And I knew how much passion I had in the throw that I made. So not only did it wash up on the beach, but it washed up and somebody found it and turned it into our office and the person that had said it close to the camera. So still to this day, Jennifer was probably saying, I can't believe you're telling this story. I've told it 1,000 times in youth ministry. But it was a miracle of God that set our relationship and established us on a plane that I was going to then need to be able to build my life upon. Because it wasn't but a few weeks later that we're driving down the road, and I remember it as clear as day. I was in front of the Griffin Waterworks going down 194 or up 1941 to Northgate area. And I said to her, I said, Jennifer, you know what? We were not engaged yet. We were beginning to talk about it. I said, I believe that if you're not the one for me, remember that? If you're not the one for me, that God has something better. Some of you are still in the place of knowing, God, this didn't work out, and you're not yet believing that God has something better. It was only a year later that we were engaged, and we began getting anonymous letters, supposedly scriptural, prophetic, sounding like coming from within our congregation, that I needed to be weary and not to marry Jennifer. That it was the wrong thing. And through some godly counsel, in knowing that if Jennifer wasn't the one for me, that God had something better. That I was a... The godly counsel was, there's no precedence to this. First of all, no one has signed it. And second of all, your father, which is your spiritual covering, and her father, which is her spiritual covering, said it's okay. So being able to walk through some of those things, even in the midst of controversy, and standing on what we knew to be truth was a miracle for us. And in 31 years, has it been all easy? It's been hard. There's been work. There's been difficulties. I'm sure there's times she was ready to be done with me. Read you something that you say. And the reason I say you say is because if you're a member at Eagles Way Church, this is what you say is your vision statement. Your vision statement is, I will be completely devoted to Christ. I will be irrevocably committed to one another. And I will be passionate about reaching the lost. I want to share with you. I began asking God, why have I become complacent? And when I began sharing this with Jennifer, she said, you can share that. She said, but you got to make sure that you don't make this all about you, and you don't make sure that it doesn't become a downer, and they don't go away going, oh my gosh, what is going on with him? And she's so right. Because isn't it easy for us to do that at times? When we're in the middle of whatever it is we're going on, we have a tendency to want to make it all about us, and we want to commiserate with anyone that will get in line with us and hear us. Matthew chapter 22. And it won't be on the screen, I apologize. But it says, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important, to love your neighbor as yourself. Sounds a lot like being completely devoted to Christ and being irrevocably committed to one another, doesn't it? So the vision of Eagles Way, your vision is based on love. First and foremost, your love to God. Second of all, your love to one another. Had for the last 6 months the opportunity to meet with about 8 or 9 guys. We've been meeting just once a month, but we've been sharing our hearts, sharing our lives with one another. I have another group of guys that are ready to start in a couple of weeks on the 14th. I think I got space for one more guy, or maybe even 2 guys if they're interested. But we'll begin meeting just once a month, 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. We meet for an hour and 15 minutes. We're beginning just to share our lives. First one I call the Leader Connect. This one I'm counting an Accountability Connect group. And through that process, these guys over the last 6 months have helped me to see what's going on in their world as they opened up and shared some things. And it's allowed me to open up and to share some things. But I didn't realize that what I was needing, and I want you to hear this now, right now what I'm sharing is about me, it's not about you. Okay, this is where I was, and I'm so glad I'm moving on to something else. But the two things that David Hitson said in that meeting to me that I heard, is one, he said, it's my fault. So he took ownership. And he said, and I believe we have lost our first love and we need to testify of our first love of God. Just several weeks prior to that, I had shared with senior leadership that I had been discouraged. That I felt like I had tried to do what I could do. We don't do a ton of things here at Eagles Way as far as there's not something going on every week that we're pressing you to be at and all of this stuff. But what we had done, I was like, why can't we get people to be involved? Why is it like pushing this rope up the hill? So some of the complacency that I had walked in was because I felt like, it's never going to change. So David, your willingness to be open and honest with God helped to break something free inside of me. to know that I want what's next. When I was sitting in that hot tub praying about how long we should continue to testify, God said, I have a greater and bigger breakthrough for the people of Eagles Way. And all you have to do is buy into that. Jason was sharing with me this morning some things that have been going on with him, and they were very parallel to some things that were going on with me, and some things that pastor's even feeling about some renovation and some refiguring of some things here. He's already, you noticed we've renovated, there's some elders that have been added to the church, and the deacon ministry is being revitalized, and some renovation that is taking place spiritually in the house and in the leadership. So I'm standing, straddling a joist, my feet on the ground of my house in my bathroom. It's not supposed to be that way if y'all didn't know that. But I had to do a complete tear out. Now it is a small bathroom. It's 4x8. But not only did we have that going on, but we had some other things happening within family. We had some birthday parties and anniversaries and things that we have about eight items of biggies this year. You know how your family sometimes has biggies? We have a couple of 70th birthday parties. We have a couple of 30th birthday parties. We have a one-year-old birthday party. We have a baby being born. We have a 50th wedding anniversary. We have a retirement within our family. So these things are all kind of happening, and they're all wonderful. They just all take some time and money and effort to make happen, to make special. And I'm sitting with my straddling this joist, pounding on concrete of a floor, trying to, I'm going, oh my goodness, I'm overwhelmed. God, I can't do it. He said, well, finally you say that. You can't do it. And listen, I haven't forgotten that we're supposed to be who we're supposed to be. I'm in the process of being so that my doing will be better. Been in that process. But I had to be open that I had said, God, it's going to be this way or it's not going to be. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. God says that he will do abundantly above anything that you can ask or think. And I had thought of how it needed to be, and so I had begun to limit God because it wasn't happening the way that I had imagined that it was going to happen. Luke, you don't have to worry about what you're doing after school. It's going to happen. God is going to orchestrate if you've been obedient and faithful in those things. He'll take care of you. You do the things he's called you to do, and he'll be faithful to do the things. Standing here to encourage you, because what's next is going to be bigger and badder and better than you can ever imagine. David, God has put some things in your heart, and you're a lot like me when you don't see it happen. Think maybe it's not going to happen. Allow your faith to arise. Allow God to break through in your life. Jacob, I know it was tough this morning. I don't know if he's in here or not. But they pressed through some things with worship that was difficult for them. We prayed for them, didn't we, Jason? We knew they were in the midst of going through it. But what I'm telling you is God has got some incredible things planned for you, Lena. You're stepping out. You're making a choice and making a decision. God's going to honor that. Lena just recently let us know that she'll be stepping down as the children's director. But God has a plan for her to help manage her husband's band business. And things that she's going to step into. Do you know what that does for me? You know what it did for me initially? Okay? But you know what it does for me when I process it through Jesus? That's going to be good. It's going to be good. God's going to open some doors. God's going to bring some people. God's going to fill these positions. God's going to allow this to happen. What's next? Ron Walters has a what's next right now. He's been accepted to begin a new schooling. It's going to be bigger and badder and better than you can imagine. As you continue, he's been a faithful servant to Pastor Buren in this house. I'm going to commission you today to Family Friend Day. It's May 19th. Some of you go, oh, I'm already busy. I got something going that day. It's okay. Doesn't mean you can't invite somebody and hook them up with somebody else. But Family Friend Day is going to be out at Mystic Acres Pavilion. You go, where is Mystic Acres? It's on Williamson Road, just as you're going outside of Griffin, just past 1941 on the right. It has a beautiful amphitheater that overseats the lake, seats about 200 people. So our service will be, assuming the weather is fine, we'll be overlooking the pond, the lake. It has an indoor facility that will seat 250 people, so if we have to move it indoors because of weather, we can. We've got all kinds of activities planned. There's bingo for the adults. There's horseback riding and jumpy things for the kids. We're going to have a photo booth there this time that you can, your family can do a whole photo shoot if you want to, free of charge to you. But it's an opportunity to be passionate about reaching the lost. Because if you're irrevocably committed to one another and you're completely devoted to Christ, then you have got to begin having a passion and a desire burning inside of you to share that with people that aren't experiencing that. And that is an easy way that you can share that with someone. Hey, come have free taco lunch. Doing a taco bar. We're even doing it a little different. We're not grilling chicken. Not that there's anything wrong with grilling chicken. We're just doing it a little different. Actually, we are going to grill some chicken because you're going to be able to have chicken tacos if you want chicken along with the taco meat. Did I finish all my stories? I don't want to leave anybody hanging. What I hope that you got out of today is that God has a plan for you. He has saved you from some things for something. He has allowed you to experience some things to direct you and connect you for someone. to be able to share, whether it's on the job, whether it's at school, whether it's in your family. What's next? Who's next? Maybe a name has jumped out at you of someone you're supposed to take to coffee or invite to lunch. It's what's next. Maybe you're in a place that you are needing that breakthrough. God has you next. As David comes to play and every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not even going to call you down front. But all of this begins with an awakening, with a realization of knowing that I need to be completely devoted to Christ. That I need to acknowledge Him in my life. And if you're here this morning and you have not done that, just slip your hand up right where you're at. You want to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Across the room. Okay, thank you. Thank you. If everyone would stand. If you're here today, and you want to be a part of a group prayer for that breakthrough in your life. When I said, what's next? You said, I don't know. You said, I can't even imagine. And you would like prayer this morning for that breakthrough to happen in your life. I want to invite you just to come and stand across the front. We want to pray for you. One person, get behind each of them if you would. Miss Linda Kay said it so well this morning. She said she has her family, but this is also her family. And sometimes your family may not be the most encouraging spiritually. Maybe it's encouraging emotionally. Maybe it's encouraging physically. But we want this house to always be encouraging spiritually in your life. Available for you. So there's a person that is standing behind you, that they love you, that they're there. So Father God, I thank you for each and every one. I thank you, Father, Lord, for their lives where you have them. And I ask, Father, Lord, that you just pour out your spirit on them, that you bless them, that you allow them, Father, Lord, to sense and feel your arms around them. I ask you, Father, Lord, that you begin softening, that you begin allowing them, Father, Lord, to feel, Father, Lord, your presence. And that, Father, Lord, you bring about that breakthrough, Father, Lord, in their lives, whatever it may be. That you bring about that what's next. That you open, Father, Lord, the doors. I want all of you to look at me. because I'm not asking you to do anything that I am not right now in the middle of doing. And what that is I'm going to be faithful in what I know to do. Okay? I'm going to be faithful in what I know to do. And as I do that, God's going to bring about the what's next. He's going to open it up. David Hinson did not say, "Hey, Will, here's your what's next." David Hinson was faithful to do what God said to do for him. I'm being faithful right this second to do what I know I'm supposed to do. And as you begin to do that, things are going to fall to the side. Other doors are going to open. You're not going on the whim. You're going on following. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you will find. Not me. Christ. Jesus. Father, Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, that today you seal that in the hearts of those standing here. It's not something they have to go and do other than what you've already showed them to do. But that your word will be faithful, that your promises are true. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Morning's tithes and offerings and alms. The third part: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. But in Matthew 28, it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you." Which is two, love one another and love your neighbor as yourself. And I am sure of this, I will be with you. I am with you all the way to the end. Thank you for your faithfulness. We have consistently been able in our alms to be able to pay for Rushton Hope once a month, whether you realize it or not, but you're feeding 300 people. Some of you are actually doing the cooking. Some of you are actually serving. I encourage you, if you've not ever done that before, you need to try that. It will give you a passion for the lost. How do you have a passion for the lost? You see some lost people, and you see them starving, and you give them something to eat. Changes your perspective on things. Do I have to go and do that every month? You know, I don't go every month, but you know, there are some months that I go because I know I need to stir that inside of me. Do the things that you know God has called you to do. Love, show mercy, give grace. I want to encourage you to be here this Wednesday night. Wednesdays are so hard. I don't get off work. I know. And you may not make every one of them, but you are missing out if you're missing. It will either be this Wednesday or next Wednesday, depending upon her schedule and technology. Diane Miller has a video of, I'm not even exactly sure what it is, but they were doing, taking a picture, MRI or something. She said that it was there, and then while they're taking the video, God healed it and it's gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And every one of you, just like me, said, right. The goodness of God is so powerful. I've experienced it in my life. I've seen some miracles happen. I know there's a plan. You've seen some miracles happen. You know you have a plan. As we all begin walking that and doing that together, it's limitless. It's limitless. There's going to be some breakthroughs. Have I done everything I'm supposed to do this morning? I think that I have. Last thing we're going to do. This is Alm Sunday. So the band is going to play for about 4 more minutes. I'm going to dismiss you, but if you want to give your alms, you can come down and give your alms here. God bless you. Say a prayer for Pastor Buren and Barbara this week to bless them, and have a wonderful day.
Trust in you. I trust.